Oh, praise the Lord. Those steps aren't quite as bad as where I was a couple of weeks ago. They had what they called the 24-step program. It was 24 steps for me to get up to where I was staying. I'll tell you what, for a fat man that has gout in his foot and then has a bad heart, that's a long way up, amen. But by the end of the week, I wasn't huffing and puffing after about five or six trips a day, going up and down, up and down, up and down. And well, the Lord is good. Jeremiah chapter 6 with me this evening. Jeremiah in chapter 6. And again, I'd like to say it is a privilege to be here with you again this year. And thank you, Pastor, for the invite. Thank you, church, for the support that you give me every year. I sure appreciate that. And then and when I come back for meetings every third year, sometimes in between, amen, I get back here for a day or a Sunday when Pastor wants to take time off or when you're tired of listening to him, you want me to come back and preach for you one time. I don't mind that either, amen. But God is good. It's just good to be here. I want to look at Jeremiah chapter 6 with you this evening, and I'll preach a message to you that's entitled, What Brings Revival? If I was to ask you a question, I'm not going to do this, but I want you to think about this for a minute. If I had all you bow your heads right now, don't do that, but if I did have you do that, and if I asked you this question, do you need revival in your heart, put up your hand, would you do that? Just think about that just for a minute. I want you to think about that. Because I want to tell you what, I need revival every day. I need it every day in my life. I got to come to the Lord every morning, and there's times during the day when my mind wanders, things happen, and I got to ask God just to help me and to get through that, and that I might just have experience revival on a daily basis with Him. Sometimes when we have revival meetings, we think about the people sitting next to us, you know, and we think of, well, they need revival, amen. We might think of a family member, boy, they ought to be here, they need revival. And whenever I'm in revival meetings and somebody else is preaching, I always say, Lord, I need revival, amen. I need you to deal with my heart. I need you to help me, Lord. I was in a meeting this last year, and an evangelist by the name of Treadway, his last name is Brother Treadway, Brian Treadway. He preached, boy, I tell you, Brother, Brother Tony, when he started, he never stopped until he was done. Just, he sweat so much, he made me tired in 5 minutes, amen. I'm not kidding you. And I'm there listening to him, and he was saying some things. I said, Lord, that's what I needed. Lord, that's what I needed. Lord, that's what I needed. And when the invitation was given, I didn't wait for him to even say, would you come forward? I just got him went forward, amen, because the Lord was dealing with my heart. And I need that. I don't know about you, but I need that. I need revival in my life. But what brings revival? What makes it possible for you to have revival in your life as a believer in Jesus Christ? I want to look with you real quick for a little bit here tonight. And I'm going to begin reading in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 15 where he says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay. They were not ashamed. They were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. So he makes this statement. Thus saith the Lord. And I'm just going to read. I'm going to read down through here next two verses, and then we're going to go back and preach on this subject. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths wherein is a good way. And walk therein, and ye shall, listen what he says, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. The very next verse. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. We will not hearken. They denied the truth. They would not listen to the things of God. And many times born-again believers sit in church service, and they sit there on Sunday morning, Sunday night. They sit there on Sunday school. They sit there on Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. One time I did a two-week revival meeting in Ohio. You talk about being tired by the time I was done, brother. 2 weeks in a row, amen. It was a long 2 weeks. But boy, I tell you, we had some of the greatest. We had people getting right with God the first week, and we had a number of people get saved the second week, amen. And I tell you this, when people get right with God, people will get saved. You hear me now? When people in the church get right with God, people will get saved. People will get saved in the house of God. I've seen it over and over and over and over again. We need revival. You need revival. I need revival. We all need revival. Amen. Well, the first thought I want to look at here in this verse 16 says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see. Stand ye in the ways and see. That deals with examination. That deals with you looking into your heart between you and the Lord and asking God, what do I need right now? Where am I at, Lord? Where is my heart, Lord? Am I shutting everything off about you, God? Or am I listening? Am I allowing you to speak to my heart, or is it just going in one ear and not the other? Have you ever sat in a church? I'll put up my hand first. You don't have to put yours up if you don't want to. I don't want to embarrass you, but have you ever sat in a church service? I've been this way one time. And a pastor preached, and out back before I went into the ministry years ago, and he would preach, and he would preach, and he would preach, and I couldn't tell you one thing he preached when he was done. Because I have my mind on other things. We need to empty ourselves, amen. We need to empty ourselves. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and speak to our hearts. So he said, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see. That's examination. Go with me to 1 Corinthians just for a moment in your Bibles in chapter 11. The book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 11. It should be a portion of scripture that you're probably pretty familiar with, I would think. If you've been saved any length of time and you've taken communion services at all. If you begin reading with me down in verse 27, you talk in verse 20. 4 or 23 through verse 26, he's talking about eating the bread and drinking of the cup, you know, the Lord. But he says this in verse 27. He said, wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Otherwise, an unsaved man should not be taking the communion table. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
That's what he's talking about. By the way, another one, look at what else he says, because he doesn't stop there. He said, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Examination. Make sure your heart is where it should be. Make sure you're not bitter. Make sure you're not in the wrong relationship with God, regardless if it's communion or regardless if it's a church service. Boy, if you come into the church service with bitterness in your heart as a believer in Jesus Christ, how can you worship God? With bitterness in your heart, with anger in your heart, amen, how can you worship God? You can't. You can't. You cannot worship God that way. And by the way, that kind of worship is not going to be accepted by God. Your heart has to be clean in front of Him. You stand up, and I admire the choir singing. I appreciate the singing. But if you sit up here and you sing and your heart's not right with God, it ain't going anywhere. Amen? Amen. It's just congregation, you stand up and you sing. And if your heart's not right with God, it ain't going anywhere. I'm telling you, man, God wants desires for you and I to be holy as He is holy. We looked at the other night. So he says again in this, here in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says this, look, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Now watch, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That word sleep there is death. Many are not here. They're no longer around. Why? Because they ate and they drank unworthily. And let me put that to another way. A born-again believer is saved by the very grace of God. You're saved by the grace of God. Your life should be pointing to Jesus Christ. Amen. You shouldn't be coming in and doing things bitterly in the house of God. Being you see something that's not right and then you complain about or gripe about it. You know what? I learned people who do the most griping are the ones who aren't doing anything in the church. Amen. You know I'm right. The ones who do the most complaining are the ones who aren't doing anything in the church. We need to get busy and do things right as a believer in Jesus Christ. Examine yourself. You want revival? Examination. Look what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians, just a few pages over in your Bible, in chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, down to verse 5 says this, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Make sure you know that you're saved. Examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. Sometimes people will tell me, they say, I'm not sure I'm saved. Well, examine yourself and make sure that you're in the faith. Amen. You don't get salvation by hanging on to your mother's coattails or your granddaddy's hand or by being best friends with the pastor or coming to church every day of your life. You could be here every day of your life and not be saved. Make sure you're saved. Amen. Make sure you know that you're born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb. He said, prove your own self. Know ye not your own self so that Jesus Christ is in you? Except ye be reprobates. He's saying that if you're not saved, you're a reprobate. Now that, he calls you reprobates in scripture. He calls you the ungodly in scripture. He calls you the sinner in scripture. If you're not saved, amen. He says, no, you're not. If you're not saved, that's what you are. Make sure you know that Jesus Christ is your Savior. I was preaching in the camp years ago up in Michigan. I was there for the whole summer. I think I told you a little bit of this the other night. And I had a young man coming up to me the first week of teen week. He came up to me on Friday night. We had a lot of teenagers get saved that week. I had two boys from Mexico City One that could speak a broken English and one that couldn't speak hardly any English at all. And they both came forward for salvation on Friday night. And I took them over to the dining hall and sat down and talked with them. And the one that spoke some broken English was able to lead to the Lord. And then he interpreted for me so I could lead his brother to the Lord. Amen, sitting there. But another young man that was on staff, I had a number of staff members that year that got some things right with God. He came up to me on Friday night, the first week of teen camp, and he said, Brother Mike, well, they call me camp pastor, Pastor Mike. In fact, I was pastoring at the time, I think. He said, Pastor Mike, he said, you said tonight that there's never been a change in your life, and you probably have never really been saved by the grace of God. And I mean that. I'll say the same thing tonight. If you never had a change in your life, then you have probably never been saved by the very grace of God. So he came up to me afterward. He said, Mike, he said, Pastor Mike, he said, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I said, well, let's sit down at a picnic table. And I said, tell me all about it, you know. So he said when he was about 4 years old that his mother said that he went into a room at their house with her and he said, I don't remember doing anything. I don't remember what I said. I don't remember anything about it. He said, and I came out and everybody was happy because they said I got saved. He said, but I've never had a desire in my heart to be obedient to God. I obey God when I'm at church because that's what I'm expected to do. But I've never had the burden in my heart. He said, so I took him through scriptures on eternal security. If you're saved, you're saved. Amen. So I took him through eternal security, dealing with that with him. He told me afterwards, after I was all done, he said, well, his name is Mike. I said, well, Mikey, now what do you think? And he looks at me and he says, I'm not saved. I know I'm not saved. I said, well, what are you going to do about it? He heard enough of the gospel. He came from an independent, fundamental King James Baptist Church, Brother Tony, and preached the gospel. He knew what the Bible said. He's at camp the whole week. He knows what the Bible says. So what do you need to do then? He said, I need to pray. I said, well, then pray. Amen. He bowed his head and prayed there and asked Jesus Christ to forgive him and say amen. He was so excited afterwards. He went out. He called his mother on the phone that night. His brother, who was going to be 21 years old on Monday night, going to be 21, legal drinking age in Michigan, was going to go out and get drunk Monday night on his 21st birthday. He heard him so excited on the phone with his mother that night about how he got saved. She had him on a speakerphone that he called the camp the next day on Saturday, and he said, can I come up to the next week of team meetings on Monday night and just hear the preacher? His name is Andy. Andy came on Monday night to hear the preaching, amen. I preached, boy, I just let it go and let it rip, amen. So I preached, and when I was all done, Andy came up to me and said, I heard Mike's testimony the other night with my mom on the phone. He said, and preacher, he says, I know I'm not saved. He said, in fact, I was going out to get drunk tonight for my 21st birthday. He said, but God did suppress my heart to come here and hear you. And he said, I need to be saved. Bowed his head right there. Same picnic table, amen. Got saved. Ran out. The brother met him. They met just weeping, hanging on to each other, loving each other up. And they both looked at each other and said this, we need to tell Dad. Now, here's what he said about their dad. Their dad was a deacon in that Baptist church. Here's what they said. Dad has never lived what he says he is. He needs to be saved. You see where I'm coming with this? Examination. Make sure you know you're saved. You make sure. Don't go by what somebody else says. Don't go by somebody saying, well, you prayed this prayer, or you did this, or you went forward, or the pastor talked in his office, and you did all these things. No, don't base your salvation on anything but on Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the one that saves you. Nobody else, only Him. Examination. Make sure you're in the right place with the Lord. Look what He says again in the text. He says in verse chapter 6 again, in verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in ways and see to watch and ask for the old paths. You know why we don't ask for the old paths? Because some of the old paths are the good paths. Some of the old paths are going to change us from what we're doing today because we're not walking a lot in the old paths anymore. Amen. Now we're following the world's ways, following the world's teachings, following the humanism rather than following God and His precious Word. We need to come back to the very things of God and His Word as a believer in Jesus Christ. He said, and ask, so you examine yourself. What's the next step? Prayer. Ask for the old paths. Seek God's face. Talk to Him. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 says what? Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. The very next verse, and everything, giving thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Amen. Before that one, amen. Before 17, 16. Quench not the spirit. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you as a believer in Jesus Christ. Boy, God is interested in you. He's interested in you doing what's right. He's interested in you obeying Him. He's interested in you following Him. He's interested in you doing right as a believer in Jesus Christ. God's interested in you. He loves you. That's why Christ died for you upon the cross of Calvary. He said in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, and He spake a parable unto this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. He's not talking about passing out. He's not about don't quit, don't give up, don't stop, don't throw in the towel. Amen. Pray. You say, boy, Brother Mike, you don't know where I've been in my life. I don't need to know where you've been in your life. Amen. He knows where you've been in your life. Amen. He'll forgive you. He'll help you. Just trust Him and do what's right as a believer in Jesus Christ. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing, new one, instant in prayer. Instant in prayer. That means no matter what you're going through, how many times do you pray in a day? Amen. Think about that. How many times do you pray in a day? Are you instant in prayer? You got to make a decision. Do you just make the decision? Do you pray about it? You know, do you seek God's help? Do you ask God what you should be doing as a believer in Jesus Christ? 1 Peter 4:7 says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober. That means sound of mind and watch unto prayer. And watch unto prayer. Spend time with the Lord. Amen. Spend time praying. Spend time talking with Him. He'll help you, my friend. I'm telling you. God is a God that wants to hear from you. You see, but He knows all things, Brother Mike. He wants to hear from your lips. Hey, what do you think when He was in the garden, He cried out, Adam, where art thou? He wanted to hear from Adam. You think He knew where Adam was at? Absolutely. God's all-knowing. He knew right where Adam was. He knew right where he was hiding. He knew what tree he was behind, amen. He knew all those things. He already knew what Adam had done before he walked into the garden. But in the cool of the day, he walks in the garden, and he's talking, and then he comes to where he usually meets Adam. He says, Adam, where art thou? He knew where he was at. God's all-knowing. He knows. And by the way, another message for another time, but He knows where you're at. He knows right where you're at. He knows what's in your life. He knows what's going on. He knows what's happening. Look back at the text of Jeremiah chapter 6, again, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths wherein is the good way. The good way, He says, and walk therein. That's action. You examine yourself, then you see there's a problem, and then you take it to the Lord and you pray about it. Now do something about it, amen. Do something about it. A lot of sin we do in our lives, we blame on everybody else, we blame on the devil. I'm going to tell you what, the devil does is twist your arm around your back and make you sin. You choose to sin if you sin as a believer in Jesus Christ. You make a viable decision to turn your back against God and sin in your life. The devil don't make you sin as a child of God. He can't make you do anything, but He sure bring temptation your way. And if you're not careful, you'll give in to it. Give in to God. Don't give in to temptation. Amen. Do what's right. Take action in your life. Look at 1 Corinthians with me in chapter 6 just for a moment. 1 Corinthians in chapter 6 over in 1 Corinthians in chapter 6. We're going to read just a couple of verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, down to verse 9, he makes this statement. He says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now he's talking to them about a few things. He says, you hold to all these things, you realize all these things. That the ungodly cannot inherit the kingdom of God. He said, but here's some things you're doing. He was dealing with this in the church of Corinth. A lot of these things. He said, well, I like what he says in the very next verse. And such were. That's past tense. He says, and such were some of you. And such were, so that's what you were. Maybe you were all of those things at one time. Maybe you were some of those things at one time. But you ought not to be any of those things now. Amen. You ought not to be of any of those things right now. Not in your life, no sir. And such were some of you, but ye are washed. How? In the blood of the Lamb. But ye are sanctified. How? By the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And then he says, he says, you are justified. He looks at you like you never sinned. He said, and in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Well, I tell you what, my friend, he looks at you and he sees something that's clean. He doesn't want you living in wickedness. He doesn't want you doing things you ought not to be doing. We need revival, amen. I need revival, and I believe that you would be in agreement that you need revival. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, he said this, "For ye were sometimes darkness." Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. Live what you say you are. You say you're a born-again Christian. You live like a born-again Christian ought to live. You say, I don't know how one ought to live. Get into the Bible, amen, and read the Word of God. This will tell you how a Christian ought to live, amen. This will help you. This is what you need. You know, the problem is today a lot of Christians aren't reading the Bible anymore. Sunday morning, when pastors open the Bible up, amen. Maybe Wednesday night if they come to church, he says, open the Bible up. Maybe Sunday school, if he says, open the Bible up, then they might open your Bible up then. But most of the time, a lot of Christians' lives, it sits on a shelf by their chair or on a shelf by the door before they go in and out. I'm always within 5 minutes of my Bible somewhere. Now, I keep one in the truck with me too, amen. In my trailer back in Ohio, I got 7 of them. And I think this might be number 8. I can't remember. And I lost one a while back. I have no idea where I left it, amen. Somewhere, some church is going to get the benefit. It's one of my old ones. And all my good notes are in there, amen. But I was traveling one time. And I was going out the door. I was in Ohio. And I was borrowing my daughter's little Geo Metro. How many of you everyone, you know how little those things are? For a guy this size, a little 3-cylinder stinking engine and that thing, going down the road. Meet, meet, meet. That's what it sounds like, amen, you know. And I had to take all the way to Illinois from Ohio and that thing. And down on the other side of Illinois, halfway across the state, on Route 8, off of Route 8, in a place called Moores. A friend of mine was pastoring a church there I've known for years. And he told me to come do revival meetings for me. So on my way out my door, he called me. So, don't forget your golf clubs. So I laid my Bible up by the TV and sitting there, and I walked out and got my golf clubs, rolled them in the car, come back in, kissed my wife goodbye, and told my son goodbye, told my kids I love them, and I got in the car, and I took off and went to Illinois, and I got there, I didn't have my Bible. Boy, I tell you, I was a fit to be tied. Had a week-long meeting with him, Sunday through Friday. I walked in, and I said, I got my golf clubs, brother, but when you told me that, I laid my Bible up on my TV, and I forgot to pick it up on the way out the door. So he says, I said, you got one I can use? Oh, yeah. So he gave me a Bible. Oh, wait, here's what I heard from the pulpit. Sunday morning. You know, folks, I was a missionary for a long time. This is what he said. And he was. I was a missionary for quite a while, raising support, going around the country. He said, one week I forgot my shoes. I had to go to Walmart early in the morning and buy a brand new pair of shoes before I could preach that day. You know, with a nice pair of shoes on. He said, then he looks at me and he said, but I ain't never forgot my Bible. Sunday night, the same thing. Monday night, the same thing. I mean, different. One time it was a belt. One time it was a pair of pants. Another time it was a tie. I mean, he had something all week long that he'd forgot one time or another. But every time it was, but I never forgot my Bible, Brother Mike. Amen. That's what I heard. Friday night comes, he did that to me. So when I get to preach Friday night, I said, oh, folks, I said, you know, I sure appreciate your pastor loaning me this Bible, but I know something. He was in our home church for a number of years. He heard me preach so many times. All my notes are in here already, so you're probably getting a double dose tonight, because I know you don't preach anything on his own, amen. He's got my notes, amen. So, well, we had a great time, amen. But, you know, you ought to have your Bible with you, amen. That's the first time I was anywhere without my Bible. I didn't know it until I got there. And boy, I felt so ashamed because I didn't have it with me, amen. I love my Bible. I love to have it with me all the time. If I don't have this one, I got another one, amen. I tell you, I love the Bible. I hope you love the Bible too, amen. Look what he says here in the text again, chapter 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand your ways and see, and ask of the old paths where is the good way, and walk therein. That's action. That's what you need to be doing. Walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. We're not gonna walk in. We're not gonna do it. Can you imagine that? God told them what they need to do to stay right with him, and they said, we're not gonna do it. Can you imagine this? God telling you what you need to do to stay right with him and you don't do it. Can you imagine that? Israel did not have the Holy Spirit living in them. We've got the Holy Spirit living in us, amen. Can you imagine us? I know this isn't none of you out there. I know you
You guys are all perfect, amen. I know that. No, I know me. I know me. I know where my heart is sometimes. I need revival, amen. I need it in my own life, and I need it continually, not just something that starts one day and then ends the next. I need to seek God's face every day. And when I don't, I'm miserable that day. When I don't, my wife will tell you I'm a grouch that day. I'm probably a grouch anyway, but, you know, she'll tell you that day, amen. He makes a statement. Watch what he says. Also, I set watchmen over you. You take action and it's rest for your soul. Listen to what he says in Isaiah 28:12. Let me read this to you. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. They would not do it. They just pushed it off. Don't want anything to do with it. Look what he says down in our text again, verse 17. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying... Now, let me... The most limited sense of that word watchman is your pastor. That's the pastor. You broaden that out a little bit, and then you got your deacons. You broaden that out a little bit farther, and you've got your Sunday school teachers. You broaden that out a little bit farther, and you've got all the members of the church. We are all to be watchmen. He said, I set watchmen over you. He said, I set them up. And he said, now listen to what he says. He said, I set them up. I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. What would that trumpeter do? He would stand on that wall, and if the enemy was coming, he'd blow that horn a certain way. They would listen to what he had to say, and they would all come into the city. They'd come in behind a wall that they might be protected. The watchman gives you warnings all the time from the Word of God, amen. And the Word of God will give you warnings all the time. If you read the Bible and get in here, this is what you need. This is what will help you. This will show you where you need revival in your life as a believer in Christ. We need to be in the very Word of God. So he says again, also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. He says, listen to what I have to say. Listen to what I have to say, he says. Jeremiah 25:4 says, and the Lord has sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them. But ye have not hearkened nor inclined thine ear to them. He said, you've not listened to the prophets. We need to listen today, amen, to the Word of God. And when the Word of God is proclaimed from the pulpit of God in the house of God, we ought to want to be obedient to that. But I like what they said. I don't like what they said, but what they said was, but they said, we will not hearken. Will not walk therein, and will not listen. I've seen that in churches. I've seen in churches where I've heard this statement before. From men in one church down in North Carolina. The church just had a few people in it, and they had an interim pastor that came in there, Pastor Tony, and doing a great job. He was full-time with them. He worked a job, and he was out there Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and then he was beating doors, and he had me come down there for revival meetings with him. People were getting saved. The church was getting pretty full. He only had a handful of about 10 people when he went there, and now he's running upwards about 60 or 70 people on a Sunday morning. And it was he had a great ministry going on there. And all of a sudden, after I left there from the meetings, he told me, he said, pray for me, Brother Mike. He said, because in 2 weeks, when I was leaving, he said, in 2 weeks, we're taking a vote if they want me as the pastor of the church. I'll pray for you, brother. Amen. And I did. I was praying for him. He called me on the phone. He says, well, the deacon said, now he had new members of the church. The deacon said the new members are not allowed to vote. And he said, what do you mean they're not allowed to vote? He said, well, they haven't been here as long as we have. And see, all the new people like the pastor. Amen. So he said, that's okay. That's fine. He said, but I resign. And he went up the road and all those people went with him that he led to the Lord. And they started a church in Hall River, North Carolina, doing a great job even today down there. A great ministry. I want to tell you what, folks. You need to listen to the Holy Spirit of God. Let Him work in your life the way He wants to work in your life. I'll finish up with one more true illustration. I don't tell lies in illustrations, amen. I tell you the truth, amen. The stories I tell you have all happened either to me or somebody else. Grew up with a fellow by the name of Warren. When Warren was 14, 15 years old, I never heard a young man talk to his mother and father the way he did. His father was a president of the bank in our town, one of the banks in our town.
And Warren was just, he was a brat, man. I'm telling you, man. I heard him cuss out his mom and dad, like, language I wouldn't even use. And I wasn't the best kid in the world, but I never talked to my mother like that. Yeah, man. She would have hit me in the head with a spray starch can. She did one time too, by the way, you know. Just because I was mouthing her, you know. If she's up there ironing, and the next thing I know, I look up and hear that can, boom, hits me here, and puts a smiley face in the wall behind me, the other part of the can, you know. Put a smiley face on my forehead, and, you know, you say, your mother did that to you. Oh, yeah. She was only 5'2", you know, but she had a wicked arm with that right hand. She could throw that ball, let me tell you. Yeah. I deserved everything I got growing up, by the way, but Warren was wicked. His dad, when Warren was 16 years old, his dad bought him a .357 Magnum. He went out in the backyard, out in the garage of his house, and he's shooting through the back wall of the garage. Neighbors all over, but he didn't care. You know, I always thought, what is wrong with his dad? Amen. He was in a restaurant one day, and my wife and a number of other, she wasn't my wife at the time, but she was going to Baptist Bible Institute in Cleveland, Ohio, with some guys from the church where she was attending, and they were coming back one night from Baptist Bible Institute in Cleveland, and they get down by Austinburg, Ohio, northeast corner of Ohio up there. And their car broke down, so they went into this little restaurant. They chugged into the parking lot, went into the restaurant, and called the one guy's mom. Well, Fred walked over. Fred always took his Bible wherever he went. And he saw Warren sitting there at the counter eating a hamburger and french fries. And he walked over, and he opened his Bible up, and he sat down next to Fred. And he sat next to Warren. And Fred said this to him. He said, Warren, he says, I want to share some things from the Bible with you if I can for a little bit. So Fred took him through the Roman road. We got to chapter 10, you know, if thou shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised from the dead, and shalt confess with thy mouth, thou shalt be saved. You know, so he took me to that scripture. He said, do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? So I believe that. He said, would you like to trust him as your Savior tonight right here? He said, no, I don't want to do that. I said, what? He said, why won't you do that? He said, well, Fred, if what you tell me is true, he said, then on my deathbed, when I'm dying with my last breath, I'll ask Jesus Christ to forgive me. Let me make a statement here real quick before I finish this story. The Bible says God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. I'm not saying people can't get saved on their deathbed. But if that's your attitude, that you're going to wait until you die to get saved, I don't believe it's going to happen. I really don't, because that's your attitude. And so Fred said, Warren, what are you waiting for? He said, well, I'll wait, I'll do it on my deathbed. He says, Warren, what happens if tonight you're on your way home, and you got hit by a train, and you died instantly, and you have no opportunity for deathbed confession. He said, what are you going to do then? And here's what he said. He said, I'll take my chances. And within that week, he was in Asheville, and he tried to beat a train down the bottom of the hill, and he got hit and died instantly. Police reported the sheriff of, well, a lot of police officers were my friends after I got saved, amen. But the sheriff of Asheville County was a lieutenant when I was there, and he was there on the scene of that accident that night. And he said that the people across the street in the house said he had his radio up so loud, he really wasn't even listening for the train. And he thought, when he saw it, he thought he could beat it, and he did not do it, and he got hit. Killed him instantly. Went off into eternal damnation, not knowing Jesus Christ as a Savior. I hope that's not you tonight. Amen. You say, do you do that to scare us? No, no. They're reality. Just reality. Make sure that your heart is where it ought to be with God. Make sure you're right with God. If you're saved, make sure get revival, amen. We need revival. I need revival. If I ask you to put up your hand right now and say, do you need revival? Would you put it up in the air? Anybody in here need revival besides me? How about it? Anybody in here besides me tonight? Amen. Every one of us just about, amen. Let me ask you this question. Are you saved? If I walked up to you and said, can you tell me a time when you trusted Christ as your Savior in your life? You might not remember. I remember January 15th, 1974. You might not remember the date. You might not remember the day. You might not remember what year. You might not remember what month. You might not remember, but you remember where you were. You remember where you were. You remember if you walked the aisle in a meeting and you got saved. You remember if you were at home and got saved. You remember if you're laying in your bed and you got saved. You remember if you were just standing there somewhere and somebody was talking to you about Jesus Christ and you got saved. You remember. You will remember when you got saved. Amen. And if you can't remember, you've got a problem. Amen. Because you're not born saved. You're born in sin. We need revival. Amen? Amen. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Two questions tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed. First question is this. Here you go. Are you saved? Are you saved? If your life ended right now, will you spend eternity in heaven? Are you saved? You say, Mike, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure. Could you just pray for me tonight? How about it? I want to pray for you if you're not sure. Anybody at all just stick their hand up in the air? Anybody at all? Say, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Anybody at all? Anybody else? If you're not sure, God bless you. I see your hand. Anybody else? You're not sure. How about it tonight? You're not sure. You're not sure. Can I pray for you tonight? Anybody else? Anybody else? Second question I already asked you. How many of you think that you need revival? Most all of you raised your hands. Amen. Most all of you raised your hand. I say praise the Lord. Here's what I want you to do. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I know it's the last night of the revival meeting. I'm going to ask you to do this. If you raise your hand and say, Mike, I need revival. I need revival. I need revival. Why don't you come up here right now? Come up front to the altar. Come on up. You can kneel down or you can stand up. If you can't kneel down, then you can come up and sit on a pew up front. How about right now? I need revival. Why don't you come right now? Saying, I need revival. How about it? Come on. More of you raise your hand. Why don't you slip out and come? Don't be ashamed to come to the altar in the house of God. Come on, Lord spoke to your heart. You slip out and come. I need revival. Do you need revival tonight? Amen. And you slip out and come. Amen. And if you can't, let me do this. If you can't slip out and come because you have a hard time walking, why don't you just sit down right where you're at like these folks are kneeling down up here. If the Lord spoke to your heart and you say, pray for me. I need revival. How about tonight? Do you need to come or do you need to sit down? Either one. You just come or sit down. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Oh, God, I thank you for these, your children, Father, that came up here to the altar tonight, Lord. God, only you know the heart. You know, Father, where they need revival. You know what you're dealing with in their lives, God. I pray right now that you help them, God, and strengthen them, Father, and use them. And, Lord, I saw one hand tonight about salvation. One hand, Lord, about salvation. So, Father, I'm just going to ask, work in this heart, Lord, in a mighty way right now. Father, help them to see what they need in Jesus Christ. And that He's the only one that can save. And Father, we'll give you the praise and the thanks, Lord. Now, heads bowed, eyes closed yet. If you raised your hand a little bit ago and you said, Mike, pray for me. I need to be saved. Just look up here at me for a minute. I'm not going to embarrass you. Just look up at me. If you need to be saved and you're not sure you're saved, would you want to be saved tonight? Make sure. You see one? Yes. Would you let someone talk to you tonight? Would you do that? I would appreciate that. Let someone talk to you tonight. Amen. Let's do that. Anybody else tonight? Just need to look up here at me if you're not saved. As soon as we're done, why don't you come forward? Would you, after everybody goes back and we're all done, when Pastor dismisses, you come up and see me. Would you do that, please? Would you do that? All right. Okay, we'll do that then. Father, thank you now for these, Lord, who raised their hand tonight about salvation, God. Help them, Father. We'll give you the praise and the thanks in Jesus' precious and holy loving name. That we need revival, God. Help us, Father. We need it. We need it. We need it, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You keep your heads bowed, eyes closed. Let these go back to the seat when they want to. Amen.
You can sit down. I just want to make a few closing remarks and also want to take a few minutes to thank all of those that helped to make these meetings possible. Before I get to the topic, I want to tell you that God loves you. And those of you who are saved know that God's been working on you for a long time. Amen. That's how you know He loves you. You didn't get saved overnight. I just think about it in my own life. I often credit my wife, because it was when I met her that I was introduced to the gospel in a spirit where I was being attentive. But you know, God was working on me long before that. I just ignored Him. I kind of did what the the Israelites did. I don't need to do that. I'm not going to do that. I can still remember vividly where I was. I was at the time working at WCCR Radio in Camden County. It was a college radio station broadcast into the city. And I had become the news director. And right after my news broadcast in the evening came a tall, lanky young man. And I was kind of attracted to this guy, you know, personality-wise. He just had a nice demeanor. Well, here he was, a gospel preacher, and they gave him like a two-hour show where he would play Christian music and he would talk from the Bible. And a number of times he talked to me, but it kind of went in one ear and out the other. And I can still remember this guy's example of what do they call them? Station manager. And the assistant station manager used to mock him, make fun of him. Oh, here he comes. We have to give him 2 hours on the radio. But I had to stay and do the news every hour, and I would hear his program. It was very compelling. But I ignored it. And tonight, the Holy Spirit of God made Mike's message compelling. Don't ignore that. Would you be honest enough to say to God tonight, you need a new life? You would love to be able to have a new life. And you say, yes, Pastor, I'd love that. Well, God wants to give that to you. And the Bible says that. Mike, you went to Corinthians a couple times. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if any man or woman be in Christ, that means if you are saved, if you would be saved, He'll give you a new life. He will make you a new creature or a new creation. Old things will pass away. That's one of the things I loved about when I got saved. I was telling Mike, I think it was yesterday when I got saved, April 16th, 1974. It was in my apartment. And I didn't have a whole lot of faith. And you know, it's by grace that you're saved through faith. I had that much faith. And I was just so angry with myself. Got myself in some trouble, and make a long story short, I got down kind of almost to my knees, humbling myself, and said, God, if you're there, save me, because I can't do it myself anymore. And that's what you need to do, is to cry out to God and say you need Him. I knew there was something different. I mean, I didn't get hit with a bolt of lightning, but if you're saved, you know it. I knew after that night something was different in my life. I didn't have the theology. I want you to have that. Mike wants you to have that. Anybody here that's saved wants you to have it because you get a new life. Amen. Jesus erases everything. He says, I remember your sins no more. Whatever is on your mind and is troubling you from your past, He forgives you. He won't bring it up to you. He remembers it no more. He gives you a new life. You say, well, I never do that again. I don't know. I would hope not. Whatever it is, whatever sin you're in. But we do have this. 1 John 1:9. The Bible says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because now He's our Father. Amen. When you get saved, God is your Heavenly Father. And we're His children and He loves us. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And He'll always have open arms for you. But beware. Mike preached it tonight. God loves us so much that He does not want us to bring a reproach to His Son. And as Mike read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in that church at Corinth, there were some that were ignoring the grace of God, partaking of the things of the Lord unworthily, and not getting it right with God. That's why we have revival. Let's take the trash out. Amen. It's been good to have these meetings. They've really been beneficial to me as a pastor because I don't think I've had a vacation this year, and I really needed a shot in the arm. And all of these messages have been good. I hope they've been good for you. And I trust they're going to be good for our church. We need to get a vision. And I can't do this alone. We need young men and women to get a vision for our youth. Let's get the young people back into this church. Let's do what God has called us to do. If you'll do that, I know our church will be fine. And you can't say, well, God hasn't called me to do anything. Yes, He has. If you're saved, if you're born again, you have a gift of God. It's an endowment given to you by the Holy Spirit of God. Mine's pastor, teacher. And by the way, I didn't ask for it. God just gives it to you as He wills, not as you will. Don't you like it how some of these say, oh, well, if you pray for this, God... No, it doesn't work that way. The Holy Spirit distributes the gift according to His will, not yours. Just pray, God, let me know what it is. Guide me. Give me direction. And He'll do that as you're obedient. And you will be blessed. You'll be happy. You'll be on fire for the Lord. And our church will be on fire. Thank you. And for all of those who made this revival possible, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I want to thank our choir. And I know Chrissy doesn't want me to say thank to the choir director, because it's a team effort, and she's absolutely right. We've got to work together as a team, but I appreciate her. And the songs that they selected were perfect for revival. My wife's not here, but I want to thank her for awful lot of work. You know, she works in a very, very, very difficult place. Many of you know it's a prison. There's been some real difficult things in there. It's extremely stressful. But each night she came home, Mike had a hot meal, right, Mike? And she came over here and helped get things together each night to make sure you had refreshments. And I appreciate her. Just wish she could hear it. You tell her, okay? And I thank the ushers at the door and the men that took up the offering, and each and every one of you that were at prayer meeting since May when we started praying for these meetings. Don't stop praying. Pray without ceasing. I pray that God will use this church to be a mighty, mighty lighthouse to this community. We love our community. Well, you know, God has blessed us with a beautiful, aesthetic area that we ought to give Him glory and honor every day for the fact that we're blessed with the beauty of the nature around us. But our area would be more beautiful if we could see more people saved. Amen? It would just make this town a wonderful town if we had more people come to Christ and love each other more and serve Him more. We'd make a better community. And that would catch on to the next community. And another community would say, boy, what do you got going on in that community? We want that here in our community. That's how revival breaks out and spreads. And Mike said it so many times tonight, we need revival. I need revival. I need revival. I know I need revival. Are you willing to say that? I trust that you will. Father God, bless these dear people. Lord, I don't know the things that trouble them like you do. Obviously, you know them intimately. You love them with an undying love. Lord, I just ask that tonight you pour your love out upon each and every one, and especially this particular individual, Lord, who raised their hand, whoever that is, Lord, let them know how much you love them. And Lord, I know the old devil's going to come along and say, oh, you don't deserve it. You did this, you did that, or you were doing this and that. And Father, let this person know that regardless, Jesus died on the cross. Each and every sin that any of us have ever committed, He paid for, so that you can look at us. You can look at us as white as the driven snow. We know that's not a saying of pastor, but that's a word from the prophets of God. Lord, bless our people. Bless Brother Mike. And we especially pray for travel mercies. And Lord, as he goes to Brother Shaw's church and Brother Vasek's, I pray you just use him in a mighty, mighty way, that their people will receive the blessing that we have. Now bless the food and the refreshments. We thank you for the good folks who brought them so we can enjoy. But also, Lord, may you bless our fellowship together, and may we love one another more and more. And we'll give you all the honor, glory, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.